Blog Talk Radio.
Ooh. Yeah. You already know what time it is. It's that official time. When we take this worldwide. Let's go. Listen. So now it's time to turn it up. Surf the radio waves as we begin to burn it up. We all up in your area like landscape, definitely bringing you the power slamming pancakes. It's the mandate that you tune in. It's time to move out so we can move in and recognize that this is no illusion. I'm here to clear the air so that there is no confusion. It all started off in the book of Genesis when Jacob was wrestling with who he thought was his nemesis. And when the man saw he couldn't overpower him, he touched his hip but he really could have devoured him. And from that point then we hear a name change, rearrange the game, so now we gotta change. So I'm here to let you know it's time to listen to the Pancake and Power Slam Show. Let's go!
Episode 171, ladies and gentlemen, it gets better every week. This is the Pancakes of Power Slam Show. We are here, we are live, getting funky like a monkey, living color if you will. Indeed. I am Chris Featherstone, your host, and we're going to have a fun show tonight as advertised. We got the Mac Militants on deck here coming up, and we're just going to have some fun, and we're going to talk about a little bit about GFW, and I'll tell you what, we get a lot of buzz every week. The show is amazing. The supporters are absolutely amazing, and I get Facebook messages, emails, tweets every week. But I'll tell you what, iTunes subscription, please subscribe iTunes, please follow Twitter at Crave Wrestling. But I'll tell you what, the place to be every week is live when we are wrestling, WAWNation.com. And I'll tell you what, as much as I love Bleacher Report and PWMania.com, the action happens at WAWNation.com because these gifts are absolutely amazing. These memes are absolutely amazing, and it just gets better every week, especially the koala bear, or actually it looks like a panda bear, doing the nay-nay. So how about that? I mean, just when you think it gets any – just when you think it can't get any better, you get a panda bear doing the nay-nay, and the – it says this is how getting ready for PNP. That's absolutely amazing. You just can't get any better than that. And then also all of the gifts are amazing. I'm a big fan of them. And go to WAWNation.com to check out these gifts that are absolutely amazing. But another gift that I think is absolutely hilarious to me is the one with Scott Steiner. There's nothing finer than PNP and Scott Steiner. I just, when I'm looking at this, I'm imagining a Scott Steiner promo, which is bound to have a couple fumbling words, an admission, an indirect admission that I have no idea what I'm talking about at the moment, and I'm going to kind of rewind and try to rebound this promo because I have already butchered this promo. And so when I think of Scott Steiner when I think of Scott Steiner promos, that's exactly what I get. And it's absolutely hilarious every single time. And real quick before Ronnie Mack comes on, just real quick, worst promo cutters ever. Just real quick through Rhea Wrestling, through Twitter, however you can cut it, real quick. Let's talk about some really bad promo cutters. And I think that Scott Steiner is definitely one of them. I just continue to think about Scott, really, really bad Scott Steiner promos. I mean, Scott Steiner, you know, he has a history of being just one of the most, I would say before he became like jacked up, he was one of the most, the best technical wrestlers during the Varsity Club and during the Steiner Brother 80s, early 90s era. And he didn't, you know, even back in the mid 80s, mid to late 80s with CWA, Continental Wrestling Association, he was a lot smaller, so he really didn't say much on the mic. And then in his WWE days, him and Rick, you know, you didn't really have to cut a fantastic promo as a tag team back then. You know, when it was the Steiners versus the Quebecers, it was mostly, you know, them saying, "We're coming to get you," and we're going to get our retribution. So it wasn't necessarily a huge, you know, on the promos. But I tell you what, when he made his heel turn, which was a really good heel turn. It was, you know, it was a very, very good direction for his career, Scott Steiner. And it really was not, you know, expected for him to make such a career move like that when he did turn heel. But his promos were just, oh, man, they were awful. And just, the genetic freak, me and my freak, Medasia, we're here to talk about fine wine, Steiner, and Kevin Nash, and Booker T, Goldberg. I punked you, and I'm going to take you out tonight because I'm the genetic freak with my freak Medasia. For all my freaks out there, Big Papa Pump is your hookup. Holler if you hear me. And just every Nitro and Thunder, that's basically what you would get. And it really didn't make any sense at all. And just know, the Michael McGillicuddy moments. Talk about your redundance. At least the Addiction calls themselves the World Tag Team Champions of the World on purpose because of their redundance. But I tell you what, the Michael McGillicuddy. If someone can really quick grab me that the wording of that promo, he was one of the. I want to read it verbatim before we start here. He was just a horrible promo cutter in the beginning. I mean, he really wasn't a very good promo cutter in the first place. But the NXT. The whole NXT was just absolutely horrible. Just a really, really bad promo. And yeah, if someone has that transcript, please let me know. Ken Patera, Yeah. Jeff Farmer. I remember Jeff Farmer. That's a good one too. Sid Vicious. I think Sid Vicious wasn't necessarily a horrible promo cutter. I just think that he had two really bad moments. You know, because like you know, Sid Vicious, he at least he was captivating a little bit. I'm the master and the ruler of the world. At least he had a gimmick. At least he had a catchphrase that worked. But when he tried to talk too much, it was just bad news. Of course, you got the We're Live Pal with Jim Ross saying, "Let me try this again." We're live, pal, and it just, you know, trying that was horrible. But I think even the other one is worse though, because it was just a quick, you know, few seconds talking about, you know, next to Ted DiBiase. At least he had DiBiase to save him when he made that botch. But nothing's worse than when he was saying talk about Scott Hall and Kevin Nash, I believe, was in the ring, and he said, "I am half you are half the man that I am, and I have half the brain that you do." If I'm not mistaken, that's what he said. You are half the man that I am, and you have half the brain that I do, or I have half the brain that you do, or something just outrageously ridiculous, and just like, oh man. And yeah, I have half the brain that you do is what he said. But just a horrible, horrible, horrible botch that he had. And oh goodness, I love these promos. These videos, so be sure to check out those videos. So, ladies and gentlemen, we will have Rodney Mack here soon. Let's start off with some trivia. It is, what was the nickname and the finishing move of Junkyard Dog? What was the nickname and the finishing move of the Junkyard Dog? And let's see. Yeah, the thump. Real quick, the thump. Real quick, let's go. That's why I kicked your leg out of your leg. Absolutely. Funny, funny stuff. All right. So, real quick, let's talk about Dusty. We're waiting for Rodney Mack here. Let's talk about Dusty Rhodes before we get started on the interview. If anybody, you know, feel free to put your comments on there. This was we were going to wait and see if we had time. We're going to talk about the Dusty Rhodes special on the network last night after Raw. I think it was absolutely great. I was always a fan of Legends of the Round Table, and the thing is, it was absolutely great to me because it made perfect sense to do something like that with those people, you know, with people who you wouldn't think have such a direct such a direct affiliation with them, like Jerry Lawler and like Michael Hayes. But it made perfect sense, and it was great to, of course, get a Horseman point of view, because we all know that Dusty Rhodes and the Horseman were totally were absolutely great. I mean, they had all types of affiliation with each other for, you know, 20 years, at least 20 years. But the thing is, it's like Michael Hayes and Jerry Lawler, We didn't necessarily know too much about them, and it was great to know, you know, something about them, and it was absolutely great to have that. So before we got Rodney Mack, I want to hear Derek's opinion on Dusty Rhodes and just the stories that were shown. Good to have you tonight, sir.
Hey, it's always great to be here, ladies and gentlemen. And Dusty Rhodes, it was great. I love it. I always liked Legends of the Round Table. So I enjoyed it immensely. With the cast of character, again, I would see a picture with Dusty Rhodes, but yeah, everyone's got their Dusty stories. Almost like everyone's got their Andre the Giant story. So respect towards that, and you know, it's the common man. I'm glad they're still celebrating Dusty Rhodes. Yeah, three weeks, however long it's been. So they can keep that up as long as they want. I'll never get tired of it. So it was great.
Absolutely. Good stuff. It looks like we've made a lot of awesome jokes here with the the Cabbage Patch, the Dusty Cabbage Patch on here is absolutely great, and it's great to be back for PNP here at the Silver Dome. It's absolutely right. All right, so Roddy Mac, he is. Looks like there's a bit of a delay. I just spoke with him. We just conversed about an hour and a half ago, so he will be on here soon. Now let's just go on with the show until that happens. All right, so ladies and gentlemen, let's start with Raw. Well, before that, let's talk a little bit about the Beast in the East. And Tokyo, Japan. First of all, I'm a big fan of a 2-hour program. It made me think of, you know, like Clash of the Champions all over again. That was 2 hours. You know, I couldn't even say Saturday Night's Main Event because Saturday Night's Main Event was only 90 minutes. It was from 11:30 to 1. So it wasn't even the same. But yeah, but even just the short type of programming, it was such a refreshment. It was such a refreshing, awesome thing to have 2-hour special, which is much different than the 3-hour, you know, fluff that we see every week with Raw. I understand that pay-per-views need to be 3 hours. I get it. But Raw does not have to be 3 hours, and this show alone proved, the Tokyo show alone proved that we do not need 3-hour Raws at all. And we never did need 3-hour Raws. And it proved even more that a 2-hour show will leave us wanting more. It's a good package. It's a good looking package for a 2-hour show. You don't have to worry about a lot of fluff. It was just back to back to back matches and a little bit of promo, you know, set up, you know, between everyone, just to set up the matches beforehand. It was well produced. I wasn't a big fan of Lesnar versus Kofi. I understand that you did need Lesnar versus Kofi just because, just because it the squash and then, you know, squash and New Day. I get it. But, you know, I've said this many times before. You just can't – you got to keep protecting New Day. You just really have to. You have to protect New Day. They're the number one contenders for the titles. You have to protect them. And it just makes absolutely no sense not to protect them. And just it's horrible. And so, I would have preferred, like, you know, Brock Lesnar versus Sheamus. That would have been great for that, you know, especially if you're promoting as Beast in the East, you know. But I understand, you know, there's money in Brock versus Sheamus. But, you know, this is just a one-off special, and it would have been good. I understand that, you know, Brock Lesnar was a last-minute add-on because he had a friend there. I get it. And, you know, because of him being an add-on, you know, it made it – this was supposed to be just a house show, but it became a lot more than that. But, you know, I get it. I understand why they did that. But just somebody not the New Day, just protect their character. There's just a lot of flailing, you know, heels out and about right now. You know, I would have preferred, you know, Lesnar versus Big Show. You know, Big Show can afford to lose. Lesnar versus Miz, for sure, that would have really worked out. I think, you know, Lesnar versus Miz would have been a good match to promote. Even Lesnar versus Barrett, and I know Barrett was in the main event, but it could have been like Kane and Big Show against my ideal main event would have been Kane and Big Show. If they did the tag team, if they had to do the tag team and they had to have Cena be in the main event, I would have preferred Cena Reigns against Big Show and Kane. I think that would have been the ideal, you know, main event if Cena had to be in the main event. I'm glad that he was in a tag match, but other than that, you know, those are just minor, you know, just minor, you know, issues to a very solid event. Of course, Kevin Owens and Finn Balor tore the house down, and the house is basically already tore down by Jericho Neville. And me being a Jericho mark, it felt good to have Jericho, you know, have a clean win, and that was great. And then, and just the psychology, I mean, you know, Jericho will be 45 in a few months, and so the quickness and the speed isn't there as much anymore, but the psychology is absolutely there. That definitely doesn't have that Jericho shape anymore as we saw in Tokyo, but for an almost 45-year-old guy, he can still tear the house down, and it's great to see that because the psychology was there. The you know, Jericho's always been a guy of suspenseful close call finishes. He's always been that guy, and you know, the setup for the Red Arrow, you know, he missed it. He rode out a couple of times. And the third time, it seems like it was, you know, he seemed like he was going to beat Jericho, but he put his legs up and did the Lion Tamer instead of the Walls of Jericho. You know, not necessarily the Boston Crab, but the modified crab, and it was great. It was a great way to start the show. Even the Divas match was good. You know, kudos to Tamina for being that dominant heel, you know, in the match for Paige and Nikki to kind of jump on, you know, as they fight each other. So I actually think that Tamina being an addition to the match was a blessing in disguise, because we'd have just seen same-o with Naomi, you know, in the mix, but Tamina, on the other hand, was a good and fresh element to the match. So it was a really good show. I really, really liked it. It was a great show and a breath of fresh air for sure. Absolutely. It was a great show, and I had a great time. Definitely a breath of fresh air.
It was great. Loved every minute of it. I haven't seen it yet, so you spoiled it for me. Thanks a lot, Chris. Gentlemen, hey, I did see it. And I thought the Jericho, you know, the Y2J, I mean, it almost seemed like he was back. I totally agree with everything he said about that. That match bullshit, this part. And with Jericho, and he's got pretty big ties in Japan from back in the 90s. So, I mean, it was almost like a homecoming for him. So he's always been a mark for Japan. But having a clean win over Neville, if that was here in the States, that would never happen. So that's what makes when they go abroad that much more special of an event. And it was really awesome to watch it on the network as well. So, I mean, I have two thumbs up. I loved it.
Absolutely. Absolutely, absolutely. Great stuff there. I was very, very intrigued by that event. I really wish that more events happen like that. I'm really happy that they decided to do that, and they decided to make it 2 hours. And I was just really happy. And I really, you know, I don't think that this was going to change anything. But at the same time, I just hope that, you know, I hope that they have more live, you know, like house show events like this. And I really hope that they, you know, decide to do something different with a Raw every now and then, you know, to not really make it, you know, 3 hours of fluff. And I really hope that this kind of showed the WWE that, you know, 2 hours is a lot better than three. And great, absolutely great reference here. Since they did one in Japan, hopefully they'll make one in England, Mexico, maybe Germany. Yeah, I think so. I mean, they have shows there anyway. But yeah, absolutely. I don't care what the script is. Go to Bloody Sunday Hymn to make PNP happy. Absolutely, I totally agree. That Bloody Sunday that Finn Balor did was very. It doesn't seem like it was necessarily a scripted, you know, move. It wasn't very WWE endorsed. I know that AJ Styles does it a lot, but yeah, it was a great moment. So, you know, hopefully we see more specials like this that last only 2 hours.
Yeah. That's what everyone's wanting, and that's what we should get. Because, I mean, honestly, the WWE can really put on a good show. And, again, it's almost like this card would never happen in the United States. I mean, it would not. Nobody, people would be interested, but the WWE wouldn't want to put that product going forward. Again, with the Brock Lesnar against Kofi Kingston, I mean, over here, that just looks like child's play for Brock Lesnar, but. Honestly, Kofi Kingston can go. He's got that type of talent. He's got that ring presence. So with that being said, you know, it's kind of almost like you look at the state of the WWE right now. I mean, you're almost halfway through the summer, and, you know, you got up until SummerSlam to make really big things happen. So it's almost, does anyone out there really agree with how the WWE has been handling itself lately as far as, you know, the pay-per-views have been wonderful. And honestly, I'm pleasantly surprised. You know, we've been talking about how Monday Night Raw is too long and blah, blah, blah. Yeah, it is. It could go back to 2 hours, and it would be phenomenal. It would be even better. And you got NXT, and you got SmackDown to fill in that extra void, and you can just watch the network anytime you want. $9.99 a month, if you haven't heard. Word has it. So anyway, with the WWE, it's without Brock Lesnar being a big presence, obviously he's been around lately, Has Seth Rollins, Roman Reigns, Dean Ambrose, have they really been able to carry the torch as far as to get them through the summer lull with everyone being on vacation? They're not really paying much attention to wrestling other than the diehard fans like ourselves. So it's, what really can we get from the WWE? Again, I've been happy with it. I've been happy with what has been going on with Monday Night Raw being 3 hours. I try my best to enjoy, and I have lately, even though the ratings tell otherwise, that people don't really seem to care. That's why, again, Brock Lesnar was pushed in at the last minute. He had Triple H and Stephanie there. But really what makes it is the wrestling itself, the product, has been really phenomenal. I mean, you've got with Owens going up against John Cena, and then Cena and Cesaro. I mean, they tear the house down. There's always... They've got a couple botches. We'll give them that much. At least I saw a couple last night, I'm sure. And I saw last week, even talked about it last week. But the match, the excitement that they give, and it's the longevity of the match where it's just hard-hitting and there's just really few low spots. There's so many high spots in that feud. I mean, it's great. And that just goes to show you, again, Cesaro can go head-to-head with anybody. He can keep the match going. I mean, I don't know how many times they tried to pin each other last night. Just couldn't get it done. I didn't know that they were going to close Raw with a match like that, and usually they don't. Usually they end it with a segment of Seth Rollins coming down and being all happy-go-lucky and giddy, which is fine. And I want to get to that because Seth Rollins has really carried himself. It was a few months ago, and I have to correct myself. I wasn't behind the Seth Rollins bandwagon. I was Seth Rollins is annoying. He still is. And his promos used to be what I called a monotone Billy. I don't like you. I want to hurt you and beat you up, and you're going to get it so bad and so rough. He's kind of come into his character after the fact, and he's taken the championship. He's made the most of it for what he can do, and I'm going to remember Seth Rollins being the heavyweight champion because, honestly, it's been quite entertaining. And with him and Ambrose, I think they also tear the house down. I love the way that they get together. They have good chemistry when they're in the ring together. Again, they say that was the low point of Raw. That's why they had to revamp, put Brock Lesnar in. That's great. But I mean, really, state of the WWE, what are you feeling, Chris?
Yeah, the thing is that I'm still not, probably because I'm so, like I've said this before, Tyler Black is my guy. You know, I was a big Tyler Black fan in ROH, and I still feel the same way that both of us felt before. You know, and I have to be honest, you know, it really, there's nothing about Seth Rollins that has turned me to believe something else about him. It just hasn't, unfortunately. And maybe this babyface turn with Triple H, I mean, they're teasing it so much. I mean, we saw it on Raw. We'll talk about Raw in a minute. But they've been teasing it, you know, so much with Seth Rollins and everything else, in the backstage segments they had, you know, with Raw on Raw yesterday. We'll see it. We'll definitely see it. And yeah, I mean, it'll be interesting to see this babyface turn. But you know, we'll certainly see what really happens after this babyface turn. I think that he'll get the momentum that we want from him. I certainly hope so, because he's more of an annoying heel that people just don't really care about, type of heel, kind of like an X-Pac heat type thing. But he is a champ, and you know, being a Tyler Black guy, I'm happy that Tyler, you know, that he's champ. But at the same time, it's not, like I said, he's been under the authority for so long, and it's just not working. So I hope it gets better. Speaking of Seth Rollins, we're going to open up Raw with the opponent of Seth Rollins, Brock Lesnar and Paul Heyman. Now, here's the thing. They just started these Suplex City T-shirts going to every city that he's at. Why come they didn't start that when he was, you know, in my hometown, you know, a few months back? I think about 5 or 6 months ago, he was in my hometown, and really hope that, you know, I know that it was on a whim. I know, I get it. It was on a whim. However, you know, they won't be back in my hometown until January. So maybe we'll still be getting Suplex City shirts, but I doubt it, unfortunately. So, you know, I guess it's good while it lasted. But I love the concept of having Suplex. I mean, it's very babyface-like. I think it's a great, great concept to just have Suplex City and to be wherever, you know, you are. So I love it. I think it's great. I think it's more of a babyface type of thing. But it's working. It's all about selling merch, and it's definitely working out really good. Of course, Brock Lesnar. Of course, Paul Heyman did a fantastic job cutting a promo like he always does. And, you know, it was a good way to start Raw.
Yeah, it was a great way to start Raw. I enjoyed it. And same with Seth Rollins. Again, don't give any qualms against the guy. Lesnar starts off, and Heyman just talks about how bad Brock is, which is good. I mean, I just love when Raw starts. You know, they do the intro to Raw and blah, 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 and then you just hear Lesnar's music hit. You're just automatically enthralled. Okay, this is going to be a good night. Something's going to happen. Not a whole lot happened last night other than destroying the car, which was great. I loved it. I mean, it almost reminds me of the old Stone Cold days when he filled up Vince McMahon's Corvette with a, what was it, cement, tossed it out the window. So that's always fun to see. Enjoyed it. So the start was pretty good. They are getting a lot of merchandise sales throughout the business, and that's all you can really ask for at this time. So this is going to kind of get us over the lull, and I'm looking forward. Even Battleground shaping up to be a good pay-per-view, so it was a good start to Raw as well.
Yeah, I agree. For once, I definitely think Battleground is shaping up pretty good, and it should be a pretty good pay-per-view. Seems like we're going to get Orton and Sheamus. Orton's from St. Louis, so it's not necessarily a marquee match, but, you know, I guess that's where they want to put Orton right now. We'll talk about that in a minute. Ryback Show, Miz interferes, gets cornered by both, and then shell-shocked by Ryback, and chokeslam by Show, and Ryback clotheslines Big Show. I'm actually okay with the Intercontinental title scene right now. I think it's cool. I think it's a way to elevate Ryback. You still got a main event guy in there with Big Show. It's a good way to, you know, for the Big Show to put some person over to help someone's career like Ryback. And the Miz really didn't have anything to do. You know, he's a solid mid card hand. He's a good heel. So I think this triple threat is really good. I think these are three of the best options you can have for those purposes that I just said. And, you know, I'm cool with it. I'm actually excited about, you know, what we're seeing in the Intercontinental title scene. I think Daniel Bryan winning kind of sparked it back up. And I think it being vacant and Ryback kind of, you know, carrying that torch is good. And I'm okay. I'm totally okay with the Intercontinental title picture right now. I think it's good, and I'm looking forward to, you know, see what happens.
Yeah, that's all right. We'll see what happens. The Miz makes everything exciting, and it's, you know, Big Show. He can stand to lose. Right back. I am still happy with the Intercontinental Championship being on him. So things are good in the mid card at the moment. You know, I mean, could it be better? Yeah, anything could always be better, but it's been better than what it has been, and it's been, again, it's carrying itself pretty well, and it looks like the character's in place to really make it explode and hopefully bring back a little more of the old nostalgic IC championship and what it can do for you, carry the weight.
Yeah, absolutely. Brie Bella defeating Paige. Now, I heard some rumors about this, and I'm happy from what I'm hearing, in a way, because, okay, so I knew that it was going to lead to someone getting called up. I was expecting Charlotte, okay? I knew that Paige was going to keep losing, you know, the odds are against her, people are, you know, she had the meeting and everybody walked out. I think that all of those are good ways to really pump up whoever's going to be on Paige's side. Now, I was expecting Charlotte. Now, the reports are there's going to be two people because of the Alicia Fox alliance to lead into SummerSlam. So, you know, I think we got a bit of a turning the tide a little bit. I'm totally cool with that. So they're saying Charlotte, and the other person, you know, is rumored to be Sasha Banks, which I totally hope that does not happen. Not because I don't want her to be called up, but because Sasha Banks is such a great heel. She's a really, really good heel. She does a great job with her mannerisms. Charlotte's good. You know, Charlotte would be a good person to side with Paige, but my choice, although my favorite is Bayley in NXT, she does not fit the "I'm coming to save you, I'm coming to, you know, help the odds" type of mentality. My choice, based on people who are similar to Paige, would be absolutely Becky Lynch, because because they're, you know, you have Irish and you have England, you know, you have that European connection. They both are more rebels, defiant, and Becky Lynch would make the perfect person to come up and save Paige. And of course, Charlotte, notwithstanding, it makes perfect sense for Charlotte to come up. So I'm okay with what we're seeing. Absolutely, it makes absolutely perfect sense for them to be calling up two people from NXT for this angle, and it's making me actually excited to see who they call up. Like I said, my preferences would be Charlotte and Becky Lynch, But yeah, whatever. Too, I think it adds a layer to the Divas division. Finally,
hindsight's always 20/20, and we can't really bank on anything with the Divas division. Anybody they bring in could be great. However, I don't want them to bring somebody in and they turn into another diva. That's what they do. Paige came in as a rebel, and now she's a bit of a diva.
Total diva.
Not a whole... So, yeah, really. I'm excited. You know, Charlotte would be great. Everybody you mentioned would, you know, fit into their capacity, but they're going to get pampered and fluffered and start acting divish. I'll see it when I believe it. I'm tired of putting stock and being excited in the Divas division when they bring somebody else in, because it just ends up being another something for the E-reality show.
Yeah, absolutely. Next question. What was Glenn Jacobs' name in Smoky Mountain Wrestling? What was Glenn Jacobs' name in Smoky Mountain Wrestling? Sheamus defeating Roman Reigns. It looks like they have... Roman Reigns and Sheamus has kind of got the best Roman Reigns the past few weeks. I like Roman Reigns and Sheamus. I think there's money all over that match. I hope they build it really good soon, within the next few months, 6 months or so. I really want to see them two have a really good feud and a good build between it, because the matches that I've seen on SmackDown and Raw have been very good. And just them on paper makes sense, because the Chicago crowd is very marky, very smarky. And, if someone's listening and want to report live right now, if they were actually in Chicago for Raw, but from what I heard, live on TV, Chicago's Roman Reigns fans now. I mean, you can see it. You've seen in the past few, at least 2 to 3 months, the support for Roman Reigns, the cheers have grown exponentially over the past 2 to 3 months. And I think because they're giving, and I've said this before, because they're giving him this organic build, it's really, really helping him across the board. And even if you got the smarkiest crowd in Chicago, I would say Chicago, Philly, and probably New York. Those are probably the three of the smarkiest crowd, Chicago, Philly, and New York. That, if you got the Chicago crowd cheering for Roman Reigns almost across the board, and you got, signs from adults and everything, that's a very, very good step in the right direction. And just continue to have him feud against, bona fide heels. I think, the cheers for Bray Wyatt has simmered down for a long time now. Putting his child in the mix is a good way to really garner some heel heat from Bray Wyatt. I think it's great. And continuing to have him feud against strong heels like Big Show and Kane and Bray Wyatt, it's really, really good for Roman Reigns to build him up as a strong babyface, and I'm totally on board with it.
Yeah, we're all totally on board with it. If he would have won the championship at WrestleMania, we'd be having a totally different conversation right now. They probably would have had to turn the heel because everybody would have hated him. And just being spoon-fed, and we're going to make you the champion because that's what the WWE thinks is best for business. But, no, I mean, everything that we've talked about on this show before WrestleMania about don't make Roman Reigns a champion, it needs to be organic, it needs to be something that just finally explodes, and it's just going to be awesome when he does win the championship. I mean, it would be such a different conversation right now, and I'm excited that they didn't do that. I'm glad they didn't, for his sake, because this is just going to make him that much better when he finally is champion, so...
Yeah, absolutely, totally agree. Next question we have, the Unabom is the correct answer, great job, really looking forward to that takeover New York and Brooklyn for sure, absolutely, Blue Pants, No, not quite. I like Blue Pants. I like the big fan of that. But not so big of a fan of Blue Pants helping out Paige. Don't think that was the best. Don't think that's the best idea at this point, at least. All right, so Unabomber is the correct answer. Great job. Next question is, what was Bastion Booger's name in WCW? What was Bastion Booger's name in WCW? I apologize, fans. I try to call Rodney Mack during the show and text. It was an hour before the show that he confirmed. But I talked to him a few times, and he confirmed. And an hour, even as close as an hour before the show, he confirmed. And as many big names as I've interviewed the past almost 3.5 years, yeah, I don't know what's going on. Hopefully everything's okay. I just emailed his representative or mailed his representative, so we'll see. We may have to schedule another day or just ixnay Rodney Mack altogether. His representative wanted him to be interviewed for the promotion that he's in. They're having a show coming up next week. So, yeah, he wanted to be interviewed with that. And so, yeah, I talked to him on the phone. I texted him a few times. He texted back. Yeah, about an hour before the show was the last time we contacted each other. But nothing. So we'll see. You know, like I said, the show goes on. You know, Rodney Mack is, they wanted the promotion. So they know that my show reaches tens of thousands of people every week. And they wanted the promotion, so you know, hopefully everything's okay with that. So we're having fun anyway. Thank you very much. I was so into the show that I forgot about Rodney. See, that's the reason why I love the Pancakes and Power Slam show. Absolutely. See, that right there is absolutely amazing stuff. I absolutely love that. I love the support. I love it absolutely. That just makes it absolutely amazing. Thank you so much. Yeah, I don't know what's going on, but we've got Gunner coming up in a couple of weeks, and Gunner's great. You know, I've been talking to Gunner. Gunner's very excited to be on the show, so that will be our next person will be Gunner. So next we have, let's see, we got any question. Norman the Lunatic, absolutely great stuff. It's a crime that is not in the 100,000s. I agree. You know what's so interesting? Tay Long is going to call and make it a tag team interview player. You know what's so interesting? We reach about tens of thousands a week, and you know, the goal is to, you know, reach hundreds of thousands. Absolutely. I actually posted something on Facebook. I'm really, really this show gets so much buzz through iTunes and, of course, the Real Wrestling live stream, through Bleacher Report, through PW Mania, through all the other outlets, many other media outlets. I was really, this show is so amazing, and I'm so humbled to be a host of the show, that I posted something on my Facebook post, you know, for trying to pitch it to be a local show, to be locally, to be aired on a local radio station, a big local radio station. So I'm really serious about pitching that idea, because I can show the numbers, I can show all the big name interviews, I can show all those things to prove the, you know, the validity of how many people listen to the show every week. And, you know, I have all the good numbers to show that. I really want Pancakes to Power Slams to be on a local radio station. I mean, Blog Talk Radio has been nothing but amazing to me, and I definitely want to continue to have it on Blog Talk Radio. But, yeah, I mean, it's such an amazing show, and it's one of the long-standing shows. There's only probably about a handful of shows that actually has outlasted. I mean, with all these, you know, wrestler podcasts and, you know, wrestlers having podcasts, ending podcasts, Pancakes and Power Sims is one of the only shows. I was talking to a colleague of mine who has his own radio show as well. We were talking about us two and probably about three or four other shows are really some of the only long-standing non-wrestler podcasts that there are. Pancakes and Power Slams is celebrating almost 3.5 years old. So, you know, to be a non-wrestling podcast and almost 3.5 years old, and we have not missed a week. We have not missed a single week. 171 consecutive weeks through a back injury that I had, through a gallbladder injury that I had, through two baby births that I had. We've had the show, you know, throughout the 171 weeks, have not missed a single week. And kudos to Derek and Ryan and other people who've been on the show, but specifically Derek and Ryan, that's all some of the best assistance that I could ever have. I mean, my team are winners, you know, at Pancakes and Power Slams. I have an amazing staff that are so much behind my vision for this show that they are really, like, they share my heart, and I love working with Derek and Ryan because, you know, only thing I had to do, because I'm, you know, they're close friends of mine, so that helped. And so the only thing that I had to do was cast my vision, this is what I want to do, and both of them were on board immediately. And as you've seen throughout the weeks, you know, when there's a dire emergency that I can only be on a little bit on the show or not on the show at all, you know, they do a fantastic job picking the show up. So, I appreciate all the support, and I really want to pitch Pancakes and Power Slams to my local station. So anybody who's listening, who's you know, my undergrad is in PR, but I'm in my PhD courses right now. So, you know, with a 5-month-old and almost 3-year-old, and of course a great marriage that I have to lead and shepherd. You know, it's my time is very limited, and I do ministry. I have an event planning business on top of being a full-time employee and writing for three websites. So my time is very limited. So if someone would like to create a media kit, a press kit for me, and let me and give it to me and help me with the pitch for the local radio station, that would absolutely be the biggest, you know, it would be an amazing blessing that you can give me, amazing gift. My birthday was last Tuesday, so it would be an amazing gift that you can give me. So there's my pitch, and I thank you all for the support.
We here at the Pancakes and Power Slams just love everything that you guys have done over the years, and I've been here for 169 episodes probably. And you don't know this, but this used to be in the morning. The first few episodes was actually in the morning.
Yeah, the first one. Yes, absolutely. The very first one, yep. 9 o'clock a.m.
And who wants to talk about wrestling at 9 a.m. other than Chris and myself and everybody else out in the Pancakes and Power Slam? So, I mean, it started then. We decided that maybe nighttime might be a little better, so... But we're here. We accommodate to you guys. You see, we accommodate to the masses. You want to hear this at night? Okay, well, let's do it at night. Pancakes,
yep.
We'll keep it. You can enjoy pancakes anytime, just like you can wrestling.
Absolutely.
So, ladies and gentlemen, this is the Pancakes and Power Slam. 90 minutes is never enough, but we cram in as much as we can. We always do. We have a great time. And, again, we apologize tonight for, whatever circumstances happen with our interview, but we're still here. We're having a great time. So really, you know what, schedule for another time, that's great, because we're just going to have as much fun tonight as we will next week, the week after, 10 years from now, 50 years from now, however long it takes for the Almighty to strike us down and say enough is enough. But if it's up to us, it's never going to happen.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very, very well said. Yeah, it was funny. The first one was in the morning. We wanted to, you know, do we had a pilot episode. So the very first episode, all 171 episodes available on iTunes. If you subscribe to iTunes, you can listen to any episode that you possibly can, any 171 you want to choose from. So the first one was a pilot show. It was Ryan and I. Derek was in charge of the chat room, and it was the very first one. The second one, Derek was in charge of the chat room. The episode two. So Derek's been was since episode two, and Ryan and I, we did the first one in the morning. You know, just to have a very fresh, you know, thing to raw, and it was great. It was still got a lot of views. It was looked at the numbers, it was still great. And then the second show was in the evening, so we did just a popular vote from the supporters that we had, you know, over 3 years ago, and by popular demand, you know, it was the evening was a better choice, and so, you know, we got together a time for the evening, and, you know, it's worked ever since. And so Derek and I have even talked about changing time, but yeah, I mean, it's good for our interviewers because this is Eastern time, and a lot of people aren't in Eastern time, so a lot of times when people are on Pacific time, like Tyler Rex and D'Lo Brown, Eli Drake, you know, all of them are Pacific time. It's only 8 o'clock there, so... So it works a lot, works out a lot, and we've gotten so much amazing feedback over the past 3 years. And this is a godsend. I mean, I really can't ask for, you know, I can't send enough thanks for all the supporters. This is an amazing show, and I definitely, was going to say pancakes at night. Does rule. I agree. Especially some, you know, I'm not getting paid for this, but IHOP pancakes in the evening. Oh, cinnamon Cinnastack pancakes from IHOP. Are you kidding? Those pancakes are absolutely amazing. If you have an IHOP, if you're listening live or on iTunes, if you have a IHOP, go. And they're not paying me for this, so I'm not going to say it for too long. Get you some Cinnastack pancakes from IHOP, and there you go. You'll experience a glimpse of heaven when you eat some Cinnastack pancakes. Absolutely. Absolutely. Pacific time there. Good stuff. All right, so thank you so much for your birthday wishes, for all your support, and pancakes and power slams. Yeah, tens of thousands is great, but you know, we want to get to six figures. We want to race to six figures every week. I would like to get six figures of listeners every week, and by the support that we've been getting. It definitely will get there very soon. All right, so we got Rusev and Summer Rae in our in-ring promo, interrupted by Ziggler and Lana. What do you think about this? Is this a good move for the WWE to do?
I'm bored with it. You know, I want Rusev to either do a heel or a face turn, and Ziggler to do whatever he's got to do. I don't like Lana and Ziggler together. Don't like it at all. Summer Rae, Rusev, doesn't work. Ziggler and Rusev could tear the house down and do an amazing match. We all know Ziggler can do it. He's got it in him. Rusev can. But the pairing of the divas with them, it just creeps me out a little bit. It just does not make any sense. There's no chemistry behind it. It doesn't look natural. And Rusev, once he's back and able and ready, Summer Rae just isn't what he needs to be with. It's kind of almost a black future for these two, because I can't really see much going on
if they don't have this feud, what else would they be doing right now? So that's good for that. But bringing Lana and Summer Rae in, it does not do much of anything for my interest. I'm kind of bored with it, actually, and just rather see the two guys duke it out, other than having their female mouthpieces with them. This doesn't really work out.
Absolutely agree. Oh my goodness. I mean, I've said this before. There's nothing about this feud that is exciting ever at all. It's just, it's not intriguing at all. And it's sad because Dolph Ziggler, you know, at this point people are saying, you know, does Dolph Ziggler, does he stay, does he go, you know, and, you know, what exactly is going on with Dolph Ziggler? And sadly, you know, at this point, it really doesn't matter. You know, sad to say, it really doesn't matter at this point. And I really hope that, I mean, Ziggler's, he made such a great come up from the Spirit Squad, and he's over, people like him. I mean, not as much, he's not as over as he used to be. Because for some reason, he keeps getting shrouded with these affiliations with women who are more over than he is. AJ, especially Vicky Guerrero, and now Lana. I mean, that's been a great portion, especially with Vicky Guerrero. I mean, it helped him garner heat, but Vicky was the biggest heel in WWE. And so it kind of hurt Ziggler when he was with Vicky, just because Vicky just shrouded Ziggler. AJ, it didn't hurt him so much. AJ was still over, way over, but it didn't help him that much, but it didn't hurt him as much as Vicky Guerrero. Now with Lana, I would have to say, you know, it's between Vicky and AJ. I think it's definitely hurting him more than his affiliation with AJ has, but of course not as much as Vicky. But it's the cat fights and the feud with him and with Lana and Summer Rae is more intriguing than Ziggler and Rusev. And of course, the segment wasn't horrible yesterday, you know, because, you know, Rusev came back, he faked the, you know, he was recovered. I mean, he did have an ankle injury, but and that was a surprise to see Rusev recovered that quickly. But yeah, I mean, it was great to see Rusev back and, you know, in full force, it looks like. So now what? So Rusev goes against Ziggler at Battleground and what, beats him? So, I mean, what happens after that? So does Lana end up turning, but she's getting more steam as a babyface now? Does she end up turning and lose that steam? So what happens in a month from now? What happened? You know, I really hope this doesn't go to SummerSlam. That would just be absolutely ridiculous. And please don't give me a mixed tag match. And, you know, the more I think about it, the more I can see a mixed tag match at SummerSlam between Dolph Ziggler and Lana against Rusev and Summer Rae. And that's just almost as bad as, what was the main, I'm sure someone listening live can help. What was the match between WrestleMania a few years back? It was like it was a mixed tag match. It was him and I think like Trish maybe, or was it Morrison? It was Morrison, Trish, and Snooki, I think. against like against Ziggler and like the Bellas or something. I don't remember exactly what the mixed tag was. I think it was like Morrison and Snooki and Trish or something like that, and against. Yeah, but I know he was affiliated with that match or some match with mixed tag. That's what it was. Thank you. It was Morrison, Trish, and Snooki against Lay Cool and Ziggler. That's what it was. And I'm thinking like, what? Well, wait, that was just such a wasted WrestleMania spot. And it just didn't make any sense, and that's just as bad. I mean, you know, Lay Cool, AJ, Vicky Guerrero, and now Lana. So, at the end of the day, Ziggler has been shrouded. You know, his career, and I really don't see a main event push coming from Ziggler at all. I mean, there's some talks about him possibly leaving. At this point. You know, I would like to hear the people's opinion on this. Now, GFW is trying to make some type of steam, and I've said this before. If they're affiliating themselves with TNA, I don't see anything changing. I mean, basically, it's just TNA with more guys. You're getting TNA. The invasion angle is not going to make any sense at all. And you're getting TNA with Doc Gallows again, who got released from TNA, but now he's kind of going to be back with TNA because he's with GFW. Shelton Benjamin, who is not a main eventer by any stretch in the States, and as far as a big name. You know, if he was like in Pro Wrestling Guerrilla or Jersey Championship Wrestling, very notable indie promotions, even like some like Championship Wrestling from Hollywood, you know, notable indie promotions, you know, or like PPW, Paragon Pro Wrestling, you know, he would be a good main eventer for those promotions, but certainly not, you know, a GFW who's trying to make some, excuse me, I'm not 100% yet, I'm about 95, so not all the way there, but Benjamin, he would be a main eventer in those promotions, but at the same time, you know, someone like a GFW who's actually trying to compete as being the number two promotion, no. He would not, he can't, he's almost 40 years old. You can't be a main, you know, he can't start being a main eventer at 40. And, you know, people like Chris Masters or Chris Mordecai, he's there now. Yeah, I mean, that really doesn't make much of a difference. So, you know, I don't see much in GFW. Even if you brought someone like Ziggler in GFW, what would it really do? I mean, would it really bring some noise if Ziggler went to GFW?
I wouldn't be excited if Ziggler went to GFW. I mean, the thing about that is, I mean, it's almost like a saving grace for TNA. And TNA has just been a stalemate for so long. You almost want to see it succeed, but, and again, you just almost be like, I'm glad it's over. I hate to say that, but
yeah.
I mean, it's just like, you know, Dolph Ziggler, no, he couldn't save it. Jeff Hardy couldn't really save it. Ric Flair couldn't save it. The TNA, as far as Hulk Hogan, all those guys, Eric Bischoff. So it's almost, you know, TNA, it's almost an afterthought anymore. Forget about it. And Global Force Wrestling, Jeff Jarrett always has great intentions. He's a wrestling mind, but I don't know if he's really, he's not a Vince McMahon or a J.J. Dillon, or not J.J. Dillon, I'm sorry, Jim Crockett. What am I thinking? But it's so, you want to see where the dice roll. You want to see where it lays and what's going to happen, what names are going to be involved. It'll be interesting, and I'm going to keep watching to see what's happening. But at the end of the day, again, it's this, you know, what's best for
competing with the WWE. I mean, it's like you're not WCW. You want to be, but you're not, and probably never will be.
Right.
Should it die slow?
Right.
Should they keep pumping this into it? Jeff Jarrett again, excited for it. I'll see what happens with it, but I'm not too excited to see people that I've learned to love, like Ziggler and whoever else would happen to go over that. Even a alumni from TNA to be with GWF, just to see it just still be the same thing over and over again,
right.
Same product.
Right, exactly. And, you know, and there's nothing about, you know, GFW right now that makes me intrigued. You know, I'll watch it just because, you know, it's wrestling, and I'll watch it. But it's like, yeah, you know, it's okay. Here's an awesome comment here on Real Wrestling. TNA is being invaded by TNA Lite. I mean, that's what better way can you say it? That's exactly what we're getting. Less GFW is less money, less people on the roster, less, you know, television exposure, less production, and we're supposed to believe that they're the saving grace of the competitive wrestling force, of the competitive wrestling scene. No, they're not. And I've said this before, I really want TNA to thrive. I really want GFW to survive. Wrestling needs competition. The best part of wrestling ever was the Monday Night Wars. Ever. And you had WWE, WCW, and even during the Monday Night Wars, you had ECW. But a lot of people don't, you know, and I really hoped. I mean, I watched the entire Monday Night War series, and they did bring ECW up. But ECW needs to be brought up more because, yeah, they weren't, you know, competing head-to-head. But ECW was just as a part of the Monday Night Wars as WWE and WCW was, because they, you know, during the late 90s was the, really the, well, I'll say mid to late 90s was the hottest and peak moments of ECW, because they got more, you know, they got television exposure, they got the pay-per-views, they got, you know, TNN, and so you saw much more, you know, and they had kind of like a partnership with WWE for a second when they had Lawler come in and Jake Roberts and, you know, things like that. And so that helped. That helped a lot. And ECW was definitely a big part. And so if you have that big competition again, you know, who's gonna open up their checkbook and be a part of it? You know, who was it? I think it was Matt Taven that I was interviewing earlier this year. Great interview, one of my favorite interviews that I've had so far, and on the show. Just a great guy. And, you know, we were talking about that. We were talking about, you know, open up your checkbook, Mark Cuban. You know, make that move and do something. You know, do something about the fact that wrestling needs competition. And we need a big person. You know, heck, you know, somebody talk to Warren Buffett and have him open up his checkbook and, you know, be the man and just kind of be the Ted Turner of the 2010s and just cut a check, you know, to a very to a mind who, you know, at that point in time, Eric Bischoff, you know, did have the anecdote to make a wrestling company like WCW, WCW wrestling, you know, turn that company to an edgier product that legitimately competed with WWE. And not only did they compete with WWE, they beat them for a year and a half. So the only thing it took was just a creative mind. That's all it took. The creative mind who knew at that point in time, as many people, you know, you can criticize Bischoff as much as you want. It was a creative mind who knew what to do at that time, knew that people jumping over to WCW was the thrill. The jump, you know, the thrill was in the jump. When Luger jumped, when Hogan jumped, when Savage jumped, you know, when Sid, you know, jumped. All of those names, all of those big names jumped over to, of course, Hall and Nash, of course, the, you know, the NWO, the Outsiders. When all those names jumped, that's what the thrill is. And as much as I'm not, you know, huge on CM Punk, have him be the catalyst. Have him jump. You know, I mean, he's still a free agent. He's with UFC. I get it. But just think about how, you know, GFW would make some noise if Punk went over, you know, went over there. If some big name, you know, now like Daniel Bryan, you know, possibly if he was able to come back, you know, from injury, someone like that. Of course, you know, yeah, you know, you could say Cena, but Cena's never going to, you know, leave WWE. But, yeah, I mean, names like that, you know, if you had big names, if you had big main event names, Orton would be another person. Oh, my goodness, Orton jumping over to GFW, do you know how much noise that would make? I mean, Orton's not doing anything at this point, but if Orton jumped over to GFW, that would make some noise. And so really the only thing there's been talks of there's been some reports that GFW offered Goldberg a contract, but he kind of laughed in their faces because the dollar amount was so low. But hey, I mean, if they have some dollars enough to pay Goldberg, you know, have him, you know, be a big solid competitor for, you know, it seems like he's in good shape. He's still got about a year left in him. You know, people like that. I mean, they need people to jump. They need that jump appeal again that really helped WCW become a notable name. So if they get that again, I think that we'll have a different type of conversation. Other than that, if it's just mid-card, if it's just B-level talent going from one name to another, it's not going to make a difference.
It's not going to make a difference. And almost, you want to say, okay, say TNA gets revived. They're back on making decent ratings, doing whatever. What would be the new NWO if WWE stars left defect into TNA? Who would be the new NWO defectors?
That's a great question. I would say, and if we keep it three, you know, like it should have been, I would do Orton. You know, I'll be Orton. I would have Orton be the leader. I would throw Sheamus in there and Daniel Bryan. Orton, Sheamus, Daniel Bryan. I think those three would be good hands. And to be honest with you, I would even ixnay Sheamus and throw if you did Orton, Reigns, Bryan. I think. There you go right there. Orton, Reigns, Bryan are the three that could just be absolutely amazing. And Lesnar's, you know, heck, Lesnar's a free agent, you know, just about. He has a two-year contract. And so if Lesnar jumped, are you kidding? That would just be absolutely amazing. So as far as the new NWO, if there was a new NWO right now, I would say Orton, Bryan, if he gets healthy again, Orton, Bryan, Reigns, those three would be my choice.
And that's awesome. I mean, but again, ladies and gentlemen, this is just wishful thinking. That'll never happen because nobody in their right mind would leave WWE if they had that gig.
Yeah, I absolutely agree. Let me know. Let us know what you think. Who would be? That's a great question. That's a really good question that we'll spend a little bit more time discussing, possibly next week. Who would be the three? Who would be your three if you had an opportunity to make the modern day NWO that jumps over the GFW to revive them and make them a competitor? Who would be your three? So, let us know about that. Real quick, we got Ambrose and Rollins. Ambrose and Bo Dallas. You know, we have no idea where Ambrose is going to be at this point. King Barrett and R-Truth. Hopefully that ends the feud between them. And then lastly, Seth Rollins. Well, Seth Rollins cutting the promo and Lesnar appearing and destroying the Cadillac. I think that was a good way to redeem what we saw with Lesnar before. New Day defeating Lucha Dragons, which was good because New Day needed a win. And then Cena and Cesaro, you know, for the second week, great match. I think this week was less botchy than last week. And so this week, to me, was a much better match. And to put it in the main event was a great idea.
Oh, it was a great idea. It was a great way to end Raw. And just something that you don't get too much. Like, usually Raw ends with a segment, ends with a promo. And this week, it ended with a match, and it was decided. And you could go either way with either individual. Cesaro has proved himself to be somebody that can go head-to-head with anybody. I don't know how many times that they went back and forth with pins. Didn't work. I noticed a few botches last night, not nearly as much as the night before, or the week before, but it was magical. And it was Monday Night Raw, ended on a great note, ended on a high note. Again, this Monday Night Raw was great and shaping up for a better battleground and pay-per-view is, again, I think it's shaping up to be absolutely amazing. Could be the best of the few for the summer.
Could be. I think SummerSlam's got some good stuff coming. Great options here. I see Orton, Ziggler, and Reigns. They would just have to overhaul Ziggler's character. I just really think so. Lesnar, Ambrose, and Barrett. That has potential. I think I think Ambrose has a potential, but there's something about Ambrose that just doesn't really, you know, it doesn't really reek intimidating figure to me. Although he'd be very great in GFW. Ambrose would be a great jump, to be honest with you. That'd be very good. And then this one is intriguing. We have Orton, Sheamus, and then Styles, which would be great. AJ Styles is doing great in the Bullet Club. And then, you know, third man should be someone in GFW. I like that idea. I like AJ Styles being the third guy. The only critique that I have about that is that the third man, I think, needs a more striking appeal. Now, granted, you know, you had the Wrestling Observer, you know, you have the Wrestling Observer Awards, you have all different types of awards of being, you know, the best wrestler of the year. In my opinion, AJ Styles is the wrestler of the year. I don't think there's anybody close, to be honest with you. Well, I think there's some people that are close. I think Okada, my favorite person in New Japan, and congrats to Okada, by the way, the Dominion event that New Japan recently had. Okada became, I believe this is his third reign as IWGP champion, and also the Bullet Club defeated the Kingdom. So new tag team champions as well. But yeah, Okada, my boy, he won the title back, and kudos to that. And real quick, my boy Jay Lethal, I didn't mention this last week, but my boy Jay Lethal, he is the ROH World Heavyweight and Television Champion. Everybody knows I'm a big Jay Lethal fan, have been for a long time. So kudos to Jay Lethal, and kudos to Okada, ROH World Champion, IWGP World Champion. All right, real quick, let me know your thoughts on the European Championship.
European Championship was resurrected or invented in the mid-90s, late 90s. I want to say probably 97, 98. It had a good run. I mean, you had Shawn Michaels had it, Triple H, British Bulldog. I'm not sure if Bret Hart did. I'm trying to think if he did. I don't think so. He was too big for that at the time. But the European Championship, I mean, for me, it really did, it was a match you'd look forward to and see it. You were kind of wondering why European was over here in the United States, and, you know, we have Intercontinental, which I'm still, you know, what does that mean? But anyway, so the European Championship, D'Lo Brown had it, and we had D'Lo Brown here not too long ago. He talked about it, so, you know, so that. But again, it was kind of, it was not much. Again, what does a European title have to do in the United States with WWE? That, well, you know, what did that do for somebody? Not too much, I don't think. So it was kind of
misprudent.
I don't know.
I liked it. I liked the European Championship. I think it was a good mid-card title at the time, and I think, you know, you're right, it didn't make much sense because, you know, it was mostly defended in the States, so it didn't make much sense. Of course, you know, it was in Europe when it first, when it was inaugurated, and when it was Bulldog against Shawn Michaels. I think that was the first match, if I'm not mistaken. Shawn Michaels won it. And so that helped the European Championship by Shawn Michaels having it. DX was very heelish at the time and just, you know, degenerate, as, you know, their name conveys, basically. And so it helped. It helped people like D'Lo Brown. It helped people like Shane McMahon. It helped people like X-Pac. So, you know, when it was around, it helped. It even helped people like Triple H. You know, when he was European champion, of course, he had the European title during the DX parody and put IC on it, which was extremely funny. Real quick, I definitely got to give my boy Kushida from Time Splitters. He won the IWP Junior Heavyweight Championship from Kenny Omega. So, yeah, that's, kudos to Kushida. I thank you so much for saying that. I'm a big fan of Kushida, too, so. He will actually be on ROH coming up here soon. And then real quick, Cesaro is an option for the third, for the three that defects. So I think that would be a fantastic idea. That would be awesome. So thank you for those acknowledgments there. But, yeah, the European Championship was cool. I liked it. It was good stuff. And I definitely think that for the time that it lasted, it was good. It was definitely good and worth it. I remember when they just started to make it like a parody and it really wasn't working that well. When they started to like have out when Al Snow won it and it became he started to like pretend he was defending it in places in Europe. Odd places in Europe, and he started saying something like Transylvania and just random stuff like that. Wasn't a big fan of that, and I don't think that, that wasn't the best idea for me, you know, for him to do that for sure. So, but, you know, for the most part, I think that it was good. It was good stuff. All right, next week we'll be talking about Battleground, and we'll end our series on defunct titles next week. So we're going to stay tuned for that. We may got an announcement or so under our sleeves. I got some fun things under the pike. Of course, like I said, we got Gunner in 2 weeks. I apologize for anything and everything, but of course, as always, a complete and great, a completely great show. So thank you so much for your support in the midst of, you know, things like this. But it was a fantastic show, and the support is just infectious, is indelible, and is inspiring. So thank you so much for everybody continuing to support. Next week we'll be here live in a living color as always. And until next week, thank you so much for supporting the Pancakes and Power Slam Show. Episode 151 is in the books, and we'll be here next week for some live and pro wrestling talk. So until then, enjoy your week. God bless. Day loves you and Elijah, and you all have a fantastic week. See you, and we will meet again next week. Thanks a lot. Bye-bye.